There we go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council regular work session this Tuesday morning, June 3rd at 7 a.m. Danny, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Pruse.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Therrien.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
And Mr. Ringstead.
Council, welcome. This is what welcome to my daily margarita morning. Usually between 7 and 7:15, I get my financial update from Margarita Bell. And so today's work session is all about Margarita Bell and the financial aspect of what we're going to look at. So first up is Ordinance 6315, an ordinance amending the 2025 operating capital budgets for the second time. Margarita, what are we doing?
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. First, I want to thank you all for giving me an opportunity to take a whole work session to discuss numbers, numbers, and more numbers. I will do my best to slow up some of the discussion so that we can make sure that everyone is on the same page. And with that, I want to start with Ordinance 6315. If you'll turn with me to page 2. Ordinance 63, that would be the ordinance. Okay, so
please continue, Margarita.
Okay, Ordinance 6315, we're on page 2. If you'll notice total revenue appropriation, this ordinance will increase revenue by $760,390. That will bring our revenue to almost $44.1 million. If you go down with me to total expenditures, expenditures will go up by almost $1.4 million. $1.2 of that is the ordinance to approve the PSEA CBA. So I'm just reflecting that now in the numbers in this setting. And you'll see that total expenditures are now at $48.1 million. If you go down to the very bottom, almost the very bottom, the estimated unassigned fund balance, we're looking at a change of $688,000. That's just rounded. And our total estimated unassigned balance, if our revenues and expenditures come in as anticipated, will be $14,979,784. And if you go up just one line, one number above that 14.9 million or close to 15 million, you'll see that other changes in the budget is 1,017,000. Any questions on that? And let's take a look at the details. Let's take a look at the details for the general fund, and then we'll come back and look at the capital fund. If you turn with me to page 5, you'll find that most of these changes are due to resolutions or ordinances that were approved after our last budget amendment. The first section under charges for services, you'll see that Resolution 5168 added $375,000 for ambulance services and $6,000 increase to fire inspection. There is a decrease of $120,000 that's associated with fire protection services, and that's due to changes in the fire service area. Under intergovernmental revenues, we've received a payment for the SEMT. It was $49,910 more than what we had budgeted, and we had budgeted $1.2 million. So under the community assistance program, we received a notice that we will receive $420,480. So there is now an increase of $335,480 for the community assistance program. And you'll see under licenses and permits, we're bringing in the revenue from Ordinance 6303, which is for the private ambulance license that we added. Under rental and lease, you'll see $10,000 from Ordinance 6310 when we signed a lease with Denali Commission. And under other revenue, we are increasing our investment income. Last year, you approved a new account called Series 2 account, and that is the additional investment income that we're seeing from that that account. That right there is going to be about 10% more in investment income.
Oh.
Okay, under expenditures, we have under mayor office is $2,000 increase to community promotions, and that's primarily for the Community Engagement Academy to cover the cost for those. Under information technology on page 6, and it's number 5, you'll see a $15,000 increase to computer service fiber. There was a fee increase that we were not aware of when we budgeted that this is covering. Under general account, we budgeted $100,000 for street maintenance. We have spent over 85% of that for street maintenance, and we know that we have other areas that we need to cover, so I'm proposing a $50,000 increase for this street lighting for maintenance. And the mayor, of course, approved. Under the police department, you'll see the PSCA CBA coming in from Ordinance 6311. There is a new item that the mayor is proposing for the police chief. It's a new benefit for legal defense funds. And the annual cost of that is $72. Under the PSCA contracts, officers have legal defense funds. Since the chief is under a different union, he does not have that benefit that others have under PSCA. Under the communication center, you'll see Ordinance 6311 of PSCA CBA coming in at $615,565. Under the fire department, we're proposing an increase of $20,000 for training for new hires and fire marshals, and $60,000 increase for professional services for ambulance billing and assent fees. And you'll see that there are revenue increases in the ambulance, therefore the expenditure side increasing to cover the bills. Any questions on the general fund before we go back to the capital fund?
Ms. Sprinkle, then Ms. Therrien.
Margarita, I'm looking at general account number 6, $50,000 for street lighting maintenance. Is that for manpower or is that hard costs?
It's for manpower. We have a third party contract that handles a lot of our maintenance, street maintenance. So that's what that would be for, contractual.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Therrien.
Margarita, who does our professional services? Ambulance billing?
Ambulance billing, we have a company called System Design West in Washington State that does our ambulance billing.
And we need to increase it because we're billing for more ambulances, or the fees went up?
The fees, when we increase the fees, we pay based on a percentage.
Oh, okay.
And so when we increase the fees, that increases, when we increase the ambulance fees to the client, then that increases our billing fees as we receive it. And it's based on what we receive, not what we bill.
Any other questions? Please continue, Margarita.
Okay, so if you'll go back with me to page 3, and we'll take a look at the capital fund. Okay, if you'll notice in total revenue appropriation, there is no increase or decrease in revenue, so we're still at $6.7 million. Under total expenditure appropriation, we're proposing a $781,000 increase for a total of $16.5 million in expenditures for 2025. And if you go down to the bottom line, the 2025 estimated fund balance for the capital fund is 11.5 million. And of that 11.5 million, 6.1 or 6.2 million of it is unassigned.
Any questions, Mr. Ringstead?
Yes, if we will go to page 7. Under property repair and replacement, that total $610,000 is $60,000 is an increase for fire training center upgrades phase one. $500,000 an increase for fire training center upgrades phase two, and when we started the and $50,000 increase for Golden Heart Plaza security upgrade. And I think our chief of staff can give us more details on those projects.
Thank you. So first, I appreciate the council looking at the fire training center. I know a lot of the council members have been out there to see that in its various phases of construction that we've had over the last year. I really appreciate you going out to see it for yourself. So what we did was the first phase was all, if you remember, it was mostly about security. We got a lot of the security up and going already. You know, we now have cameras, alarms, all the normal stuff there. The one thing that we didn't get yet was fences, but we ended up switching some stuff around in the order just because it made sense and would save us a little bit of money in the long run. So rather than putting in the fence, when they're running the wires for the access panels for the doors and the alarms for the windows and that sort of stuff, they're already running wire. So I had them put in all the same company put in all the Cat 5 cable that we would need for the building. So if you remember the pictures of the 16,000 feet of the Cat 5 cable, that's where that came in, and that is what also pushed us over the original amount that we had budgeted for it, and we ended up taking some out of the mayor's contingency for that. And then so for phase two, we're looking to hopefully finish off the server room, and then that building it'll still be ugly, but it will at least functional for a modern building. And then the Golden Heart Plaza security upgrade, this is a part of Mayor Pruz's project for Golden Heart Plaza. We realized if we're going to, put in the panels and everything down there, that we probably want to have cameras on it. Right now, we do not have cameras on that area, and the reason we don't have cameras in that area is because we don't have the fiber bandwidth for the cameras. So to put more cameras in there, we have to run fiber. I've asked the two companies that are capable of doing it down there how much it'll cost. I've been waiting for months for an actual quote, and we're just taking a stab that it's going to be, about $30,000. So, and then the rest of it would be for the cameras. And that's all for those.
Any questions? Ms. Sprinkle.
So, Mike, if we put a camera down in that area, do we use that to prosecute for anything that we see?
The FPD uses the Golden Heart security cameras all the time. It's often, if you go over next door, often in the officer's room, they will have that feed the different feeds pulled up so they can see what's happening down there.
So it's actually quality that they can use to do something with versus just, oh, it's a blurry person.
Oh, no, it's pretty decent. If anybody wants to see it, I can show you in my office after this.
Thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Does UConn Quest have any access at that? Since the cabin's there.
To the camera feed?
Yeah.
No, sir. That goes to us. It's on our network. We couldn't give. They'd have to have the clearances that we have for the dispatchers and police.
Ms. Tidwell.
On the training center upgrades, you said that'll bring the building functional but still ugly. Is there another phase that's going to finish that project?
Yeah. I mean, originally, we were hoping to get the EOC grant through the state, but that is a federal funded grant, and that's not happening. It doesn't seem to be anywhere in the lineup anymore. So, I mean, we can, once it's functional, though, I mean, we can piecemeal it together to make it to make it better. So,
also, both this and our next item resolution, a lot of fiscal financial numbers. I would encourage you over the next week to meet with Margarita at yours and hers convenience to run through this again. That way you understand every part of this budget change in both the operating and the capital, and then where we're going with the taxation. Ms. Sprinkle, then Ms. Therrien.
Maybe it's premature to mention, but in financial, our finance committee discussions, we did ask, why are these numbers so much bigger than we thought? And Mike explained how they, how the city has to go through, you can't get a proper quote because that excludes the person who's given a quote to the city.
I couldn't hear, what was that again?
You can't get a proper quote from somebody because if you do so, you can no longer use them as a source for the work, which I find really frustrating because, as we've just seen, Mike has to stab it at costs. So these upgrade are the increases in our budget are because we can't get real numbers, which is frustrating. So some of our conversation was, do we then pad a 20% number to guesstimates until we start getting real numbers? I don't know. I'm just saying, as a council person, I find that really frustrating that we can't do it appropriately, but there it is.
Ms. Therrien.
Mike, you said that on the 60,000 increase for phase one, that some of it came out of the mayor's contingency. How much was that? And is it 60,000 plus the mayor's contingency?
No, I think it was like 37,000. And then there was another thing that Marguerite could probably explain. There was money that was in that account that shouldn't have been in that account, and it got moved out. So that's what is making this look at 60,000. I think the actual runover was like 37,000.
Yeah, it was 40,000.
So is it being taken out of the capital fund or the mayor's contingency?
Right now it's out of the mayor's contingency under the capital fund. The mayor has a contingency under the general fund and the capital fund. So this one is coming out of the capital contingency fund.
So does it increase the budget by 60,000?
No, not at this time. Only if you approve it. Approve this budget amendment, will it increase it?
Right, and so what's left of the mayor's capital fund after we take the 60,000 out?
After the 40,000, he has other costs in there. I believe he's at 120,000 in that line item. Okay. Maybe 90,000, less than 40.
Okay. Mr. Marney.
So Mike, after this, what else are we gonna expect to see, say in 6 months or by the end of the year?
Well,
fire training center.
I don't think that, like, so part of the thing too is I have to be able to spend the money that why it's in phases. I have to be able to try to spend it in that year. I suspect that we will get with that 500,000. I suspect that we'll be able to get the server room basically done. That's already going. It's close to being. I mean, it's functionally being used for the security stuff already. So I think that we'll be able to knock out the server room, and then after that, it should be more or less functional. We'll put in some more servers and be able to have computers working there. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you. Anything else on this? Margarita?
There were other increases under the IT department, 86,000 increase for storage area network, then 50,000 increase for police vehicles outfits, and 35,000 increase for fire tender vehicles. And that kind of addresses what Ms. Sprinkle was saying, that these were increases outside of what we had budgeted. The bids came in higher than we had anticipated for these items.
Thank you very much. We will move on to Mr. Engstead.
So you're saying those last four items were all increases because our cost, our estimates were low?
For IT, for item four, under IT, five for police, seven for fire, okay. And then the 60,000 for the fire training center.
So what is our total cost that we're putting into wind up paying for these items? And I don't know we need it right now, but it'd be interesting. I mean, what do we wind up spending? We don't ever see the total numbers.
But I can talk about the storage area network. We had it budgeted for $120,000. I got that number from IT in, like, I want to say August, maybe September, when we started doing the budget. And then in January, when we went to actually purchase it, it came in about $200,000.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of money. Okay, anything else? And again, on both this and the resolution, 5176, I encourage you to contact Marguerite to have her go over the numbers with you privately. Item two, resolution 5175, establishing a rate of levy for the 2025 real property taxes for the city of Fairbanks. Margarita.
Okay, thank you again, Mayor. You have before you resolution 5175. Just to kind of give you the process, I received the certified payroll, the certified property tax roll May 31st, because that's when they certify. They have to certify by May 31st. The council has to approve the mill levy before June 15th. So I know it's a short time window, but that is the dates that we're working with in regards to the mill levy. You'll notice on resolution 5175, I tried to use some colors to kind of bring your attention to certain items. And you'll notice on the resolution that the mill levy is highlighted, and you'll notice that claims and judgments are highlighted. Normally you would see what that amount of levy is, but because of the lawsuit, I thought we would want to talk about what we want to do for the levy for 2025. So if you'll turn with me on your second page, and you'll see the property tax computation for mill levy. And I wanted to go through it first so that you can see what it would look like if we did not have a lawsuit. And then I wanted to talk about my recommendation considering the lawsuit. So the first thing you'll note in bold letter, in the bold numbers up at the top right-hand column, that we had $3.2 billion, almost $3.3 billion if we round it up, and total net taxable value. And that's a 4.8% increase from last year, $148.9 million increase from the prior year. If you go down that column to the next bold number, which is $23,142,357, you see that number there? That is like your first tax cap. You can only start your tax base out with what you collected in the prior year. So that's what that number is there. Now you see your first green is your CPI, that 2.2%, that's what we can add. That's $509,132. And then you see we can bring in other items, and we'll talk about this $3,152,781 number in a few minutes, but I just want you to kind of follow along with me there. So the total taxes that we can collect is $26,804,270. So that's adding in the base from the prior year, adding in the CPI, and then we're adding in our total exclusions per code. And then we take out the sales taxes. That's when our increase in our tobacco taxes and things like that, that comes out, and that leaves us with our property tax allowed by the tax cap, which is $18,970,962. So now I want to go down to this bottom section, that calculation of F, and you'll see that in red. You'll see that bottom $3,152,781 in red. The first number that we get to bring in, and you'll hear Mr. Cleworth mention that we have two items that we can bring in, and that's our CPI
and it's new construction. That $424,342 is the amount for new construction. So you're bringing that number in. And that's in green to kind of tie in with those two numbers that you see there. By voter approval, Proposition A allows us to continue to collect the $695,380. It was Proposition A. That was the amount that we had for debt when we had the building. We had a bond. So the voters approved that we can continue to collect that amount. That was Proposition A. Now, let's talk about the new judgments and claims and mitigation insurance. That $2,033,059, that is the amount that we paid in 2024 for claims and judgments. I want to call to your attention that you'll notice this is a decrease from the prior year, which is about $418,472 from the prior year. If you look over in that column beside it, you'll see how it's going down. Now, we have a lawsuit that was $11.5 million. We received insurance of $2 million, so we're looking at $9.5 million. My recommendation is that we add $3 million to that $2 million number that you see there, $33,059, and 2025 mill levy, so that when we look at this levy in 2026, we're looking at the other 3.25 that will be owed in October. And then when we look at the following year in 2027 levy, we're looking at the other 3.25, which would be the final. Now, what does that mean for the taxpayer? If you flip over on the back page of this,
you're saying that the 9.5 can be paid over 3 years?
Yes, per
Okay, I thought that it had to be all paid within 1 year.
No, the way we're paying the lawsuit, we've already paid $3 million. We paid $5 million, the insurance company gave us two. So we paid $3 million. In October of this year, we will pay a $3.25 million. And then next year in October, in 2026, in October, you'll pay another $3.25 million.
In our negotiations and settlement, we found that it was imperative to spread out the penalty amount over a three-year term to make it more financially affordable for the city of Fairbanks. And Mr. Chard was able to negotiate that for us.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, we're paying over two.
Over three.
Correct. So if you turn with me on the very back page of your of that resolution, and if you just kind of look at that column that's in yellow that says claims at $2 million. So if you look at the mill levy amount that's highlighted in yellow, it's 5.833. So if we add the $3 million that I'm proposing that we add this year to minimize how much is paid in the next 2 years, then the mill levy would go up from 5.833 to 6.755. So what does that mean? For a property owner with an assessed value of $100,000, it would be $92.20 more. If the assessed value was $300,000, then it would be $276.60. I also gave you some history of the mill levy. If you notice in 2018, this mill levy that's proposed is less than what was assessed in 2018. In 2018, it was 6.979. And this would be 6.755. So I wanted you to get a history of the mill levy.
And Margarita, that was from the PFAS construction?
Yes, it was from the PFAS.
Yes, Sue.
There's no not doing this, right? We have to do this.
Well,
I mean, there's no other way
The question will be, where do you get the funds from?
Sure.
So are we putting it as a mill to the tax, or do you want to go into our general fund that has out, savings right? in it?
Okay.
So that's a question, and that's why I want you all to separately, over the next week, meet with Margarita and go through these numbers again. It's imperative that you bring yourself through and understand this. It really is.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Any questions for Margarita? Valerie?
So what do we have in the savings fund right now?
Based on, if you approve the ordinance for this budget amendment, this 63.15 that we just reviewed, you have almost 15 million. You're required by code to maintain at least 10 million.
That
doesn't include the 1 million that you have remaining in budget, and you still have one contract that's outstanding and another one that will be negotiated.
So we still have, if I could just continue, mm-hmm. So we still have the fire contract.
Correct.
And that would have to come out of our 50 million because we don't have that budgeted, right?
We do not have it budgeted, so it will have to come from that 15 million.
So not
or
only...
really it has to come from the 1 million because you don't want a budget above what you have available in that current year for budget.
Okay.
Because
so if we, so our choice is to either increase the mill levy or take it from our fund balance. And that would really decrease our fund balance significantly.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Ringstead, then Ms. Pettyworth.
You can have that off.
But in the fund balance, we've already taken $3 million out to pay the first three.
Yeah.
So if we hadn't paid that, if you're looking at the total nine, we'd have a fund balance of 18. Yeah. We've paid out three already. It came out of fund balance.
Yeah, the way when you're looking at this 14 million, and this is where the governmental accounting kind of comes into place, it's right now sitting in the 2025 risk fund as a $3 million expenditure, right? Current year, it's not in this 14 million. 14.9 million number.
No, also, you'll start seeing reports on our employment. And in the past, we've taken a lot of our salary savings that goes into our fund balance or sent into capital. Well, we've been very successful in recruiting and retaining police officers, fire department people, and especially the dispatch. So over a 2 to 3 year period, I would be looking at a declining transfer into the fund balance from salary savings. Just part of the equation for you to think of. You know, success has a double-edged sword for us. Mr. Ringstead.
But the other half of that is the overtime should be going down. I think the boss True. Told us it was gonna be, by the end of this year, he'll see the difference. And so next year's budget, most of those savings that we don't get should be offset costs that we don't incur.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sort of why I enjoy or like having these budget assessments or reviews, because you can start looking at 6 months, 1 year, 2 years in advance. The Finance Committee, you do that anyway. But this allows everyone to review that. Mr. Clearworth, you had a question.
Just want to emphasize what Margarita said. We have a little over $1 million to get us through the balance of the year. This budget amendment we just talked about eliminates one third of what we had, leaving us with 1 million. And she is right, we have a contract that's in there also. So we're gonna have to nurse $1 million for the next 7 months. Also on the mill rate, I used to keep a chart, and I'm going to dig it out, of the mill rate history for the city of Fairbanks from the 1960s forward. And we did have higher mill rates than what we do now, even with this claim. And before the next council meeting, I'll try and dig that out for council members to see the history of what it has been. I remember not too long ago, it was about 7.9 or something like that. So as the years have gone by, the mill rate has come down for a variety of reasons, which is good news. But this one, you know, we're going to take a hit here. Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead, then Ms. Therrien.
Another thing that I want us all to think about is what we can do legally and what we should do may not be the same thing. There are other options. And I look at this, I've been kind of crunching numbers through this. Marguerite and I had a discussion quite a while ago about it. But you're talking about something in the ballpark of a 10 or 15% increase in property taxes. So an average assessed house in Fairbanks over the next 3 years is going to pay $1,000 for doing nothing wrong. The bulk of our money, quite frankly, if you look, we kind of went through a list of the top 20 or top 50 property taxpayers. We have one taxpayer that's going to pay 10% of this, $1 million. Of the top, I think it's 20, they will probably pay two of the $9 million. So we are asking a very few of our taxpayers to pay a lot, and they did nothing wrong. I have to ask myself, what is our responsibility as the city? We are the party that's really liable here, in my mind. And I have to ask, is it fair that we make these people pay when we're not willing to put a part of our own money into it? If we're not willing to put some of our surplus into it, we just turn around and say, you have to take it out of your pocket and pay it. I'm not sure that to me sells very well. I think that's just in terms of fairness, we ought to be willing to pony up something to come to the table. For us just to say, no, we're just going to stick it to the property taxpayers, I have a problem with that. So I think about, you know, all of our businesses around here that we're all go to and buy our stuff from. There's a whole bunch of them that are going to get hit pretty hard. I mean, I think there's probably 10 or 15 that are going to pay six figures. That's a lot of money, you know. And I'm glad we're publicly talking about it, because I don't want these people to get a notice here in 60 days that they didn't see coming, and all of a sudden, you know, they're up $25,000 or $50,000 or $100,000. That's a pretty big jolt for people. So think about who it is that's actually paying, and do they deserve this, or do they deserve better?
Ms. Sprinkle, then Ms. Therrien.
I'm intrigued by what you're saying, John. I think that's an interesting take. How does something like that get done? Is it a different ordinance that says we're taking money out of the general fund, as opposed to just mill rate? But we're trying to set the mill rate based on this conversation, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's two things, but I guess, get them.
Yeah, I would assume, Marguerite will smack me if I get too far off base here, but you know, we're trying to set a mill rate, assuming we will set a rate, assuming we're going to pay, the taxpayers are going to pay the full $3 million this year, 3.1 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If we say, no, we're willing to take $1 million or $2 million or X number of dollars out of our reserve fund each of the next 3 years to pay a portion of this, then we can set a lower mill rate.
Well, actually, you can only take $1 million if you want to do that out of reserve for this year. And then future city councils will do with what they want in the following 2 years. But you'd be setting the standard for this year's fiscal.
You just kind of make the decision and set it. Each year you're going to have to set the mill rate.
Yes. And you don't know what other factors will be involved or any other payments and judgments we might be making. Go ahead, Mr. our attorney here.
Just on the mayor's comment that you're setting a standard, obviously, you know, legal, finance, we've been having these conversations recently. To the best of our recollection, we have never taken money out of anything and put it into the risk fund to pay this down. So part of your deliberation today is what the significance of that is for future. Certainly, Councilmember Ringstad brings an excellent point forward that, you know, what's fair here? Where should the, you know, who should pay what? If council makes this call today, it may in the future have precedential setting for if council wants to do that in the future. So just pointing that out, I don't think that it's ever been done, but that doesn't mean it can't be done now.
Ms. Therrien, then Mr. Ringstad.
What's left in the risk fund?
As for 2024 or 2025?
For 2025.
For 2025, we so far have been under, I want to say we're at $300,000 in the risk fund. I'll verify that as far as claims and judgments. You have an insurance that we don't know what that cost would be because your insurance is also a part of that number for 2020. So when we're looking at 2025, what's in that risk fund, it's not only your claims and judgments, but it's also your insurance. And we don't know what that number is. We hope to have that for you at the next count, not the ninth, but the following council meeting.
And
we'll know, and that could be over $2 million. So we could be starting out with $2 million plus whatever we paid in claims and judgments.
And is there any money left in the risk fund from 2024?
No, the risk fund is usually covered. We have the expense, the way it works is we have the expenditures, and then when we do the mill levy, we levy it to cover that cost from the prior year. That's the way it usually works. So it's always a behind as far as revenue, right, and paying the bill. So it, right now it would show that there's funds that are needed in that risk fund to cover what we paid to date for the city. So that's the way that fund works. So last year in 2024, you had this total of $2,033,000 that you're covering. But I'm proposing that you also cover a portion of the lawsuit so that it's not all in next year's expenditure.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Ringstad.
Is that the amount of expense coming out, or is that the amount in the fund? And you said $2 million.
That's the amount that we spent in claims and judgments
today. So after
today.
The end of the year, you think there's $2
million
left.
And then you're going
to
have your insurance and that amount, so it may be more. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we, Tom? I was not clear on something you were saying about money going in and out of the risk fund and doing that. Can you run through that again?
Just pointing out that, to the best of all of our knowledge, the council has never moved money into the risk fund to reduce what the taxpayers are paying for a settlement judgment kind of thing.
It's not the way we have to do it. It's the way we've always done it. So what our attorney is saying, if you take your fund balance and pay any of this penalty, that'll be the first time we've ever done that versus putting it on our mill tax levy. That's why I said you're setting a standard down. And that's why I want everyone to talk with Margarita through the week. Now, also, you've heard me always say, be careful what we do now, because in 20 years, it might have an implement on a future council. Our 2018 mill rate from the PFAS, that's from the mid-70s to the mid-90s, that issue. This issue was something from the late 90s. That we are dealing with now, that we've dealt with it very well. So always be careful and remember what we do today, we're careful so in 20 years when we're not here on the council, well, maybe Jerry will be here. but again, be careful what we do today so Jerry is not dealing with this in 20 years. Ms. Therrien.
Margarita, I understand what you just said about the risk fund, but if you could put it in writing for us and email it to us, I think that would really help me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I agree with John. But I also believe that this whole thing occurred in 1997, and I believe that some of us on this council didn't live here then. So I think it's up front that, you know, we're willing to do this and man up and do this.
There's no wrong answer.
Yeah.
There's no wrong
answer. Because we all look at our neighbors and friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll hear about it.
Yeah. Any other questions before I move on? Okay, we're going to move on. But again, I encourage you to talk with Margarita and go through the numbers again throughout the course of the week. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What Lonnie was saying, I'm not sure that the community is going to be so mad at us for the Fairbanks for receiving some money, because I think that the community supported their claims. So, you know, I think that's something that we have to think about as well, even though it happened so long ago, and our police department has changed considerably. But I think that the community was behind them. So I just think that's something that we need to consider as well.
Mr. Mayor, one last comment. The we're gonna have first reading on this next week.
Monday evening.
The resolution, so we can do it and pass it on Monday. Because we have to have it done by the 15th. So in 12 days.
Well, you have to set your mill rate.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you can amend your budget at that time to take out of your fund balance. Miss Sprinkle.
Is it just this year with this situation? I just don't remember the time crunch that we feel like we're having right now as in previous years. Is this unusual?
No, it's always presented at this work session for approval in your first meeting in June. This is not unusual. What makes this a little bit different is how are you going to handle a lawsuit? And I'm recommending that instead of the citizens looking at $6.25 million, when we're looking at this number next year, that they're looking at just the $3.25 and not $6.25. So, and I need guidance on what to present for this resolution on Monday night.
Oh, okay.
And also remember, in 1997, 1998, the city council at that time decided to go with self-insurance. If they had had insurance, we would not be having this discussion. Correct. It was self-insured. Mm. Hence, and we had a nice, long, protracted battle with the insurance company, and they paid for the first three payouts and 20% of this payout. So when we were self-insured. So again, kudos to our legal team on their negotiations with everything. But be that as it may, this is in front of us on the here and the now. Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm hearing from Margarita that she needs guidance right this minute for presenting something on Monday. So I didn't think we voted or did anything on a work session.
No.
Just giving consensus, okay, or just making some sure sort of...
But Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
This is exactly where you have the hard discussion that you're having.
Yeah, well, okay. I just didn't this feels different. It just feels different today, and yeah. I understand why.
Okay. We're going to move on.
But what is the...
What's that?
We have guidance.
You'll do that Monday.
Oh, okay, so she's just going to put in a number she thinks is correct.
You will.
I thought I heard her want guidance right now. Am I wrong?
I will.
Do you need guidance now?
I will present what the mayor proposes on Monday night, whether it's with the $2 million or with the $5 million
What I'm going to do is have this all on the taxes, on the mill rate. And from there, you can adjust our budget through amendment, however you want to do it.
Okay.
If you choose to do that.
Okay. So, thank you.
Well, that's why the option is meeting with Ms. Bell before Monday.
Yep. Yeah. Highly encouraged to do that with you. Okay. Resolution 5176, a resolution amending the city schedule fees and charges for services by adjusting garbage collection rates. And this has not been introduced yet, but it'll be introduced on Monday. Margarita, it's your Margarita morning.
Per code, thank you, Mayor, per code, we can adjust the annual change in the garbage collection rates by CPI, which was 2.2%, and tipping fees. And the average between the tipping fees is $4. It was $5 for the first half of the year, and $3. I received a notice from the borough would be their increase starting July of 2025. So with those two changes, on the second page, you'll see that the fee schedule, proposed fee, would be $99, which is a $3 increase. And the last page of this resolution, you'll see the fiscal note associated with it that kind of takes you through the math of how we determine the $3. And so the it starts out with the 96, with the 102.2%, the 2.2% will give us a CPI adjusted rate of 98.11. Looking at the tipping fees per quarter is $1, and that gives us 99.12 and rounding it to $99. And this is a difference of $3, which would bring in a quarterly increase of $15,621. And I also provided the garbage collection revenue and expenditures over the last 3 years. And it has been adjusted based on the information provided by our current public works director.
Mr. Marnie.
So do we know, does the mayor's office establish this increase, or does the assembly establish the increase?
No, this is a city fee, and no, it is by code. By code. The tipping fee?
Yeah. Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
I'm sorry. I believe it is during their budgeting process. They look at the expenditures, and they come up with this fee.
So it's the assembly side.
Yes, approve it through their budgeting process.
The mayor presents the budget, and the assembly then adjusts the budget, and the final vote from the assembly sets the budget, and that's what we get here. Mr. Ringstead.
So, Margarita, on your third page, I guess it is here, the bottom, we're showing 22, 23, 24. 24, we were in the black.
Correct.
So we think they're going to raise our fees. Our cost probably went up a little bit. Where do you think we are in 25?
25 is, we're looking, I would project that we will probably see more of the increase. You're going to see the 4% increase for salaries from a public works department. They had a 4% increase. And you can anticipate seeing this $3 increase for the second half of the year. So I would project that that number may go up about a 5% or so.
So we're probably maybe breaking even?
Yes.
Mr. Clearworth and Ms. Sprinkle.
Margarita, in the budget this year, our garbage collection fees went up. And what was the rate that you were setting that up when we adopted our budget?
When we adopted our budget, I had projected a 2.5% for CPI. And I had projected a $5 increase for both years for the borough. So I had projected $41,656. And it's really a difference of $10,400 from what we budgeted if we accept this increase.
So the amount we adopted was 2.43 million in garbage collection fees. What would we be changing that number to?
Yeah, we would have to decrease that number. We would have to decrease that number. If we do not accept this increase, we would have to decrease the budget by 40,000.
But this increase, though, is the 2.43 an accurate number, or is it changed?
The 2.43?
Yeah, that we adopted in the budget.
In the budget, yes. It's a slight decrease of 10,000 with this increase of 99. So it's a $10,000 decrease.
Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I recall that we take a percentage of something we collect to fund the capital garbage.
Yes, correct. There's a 12%.
And that's to pay for any equipment.
The garbage, for the garbage truck.
So does that number change in any way, or?
It does based on the revenue. So whatever revenue we collect, 12% has to go into the capital fund.
Okay.
Any other questions for Margarita? 12%. Seeing none, we will move on. Margarita, Finance Committee report. It's a Margarita morning.
On May the 22nd, the Finance Committee met. As of April the 30th, we had a fund balance of $16.3 million. We had cash flow of $27.5 million. And our general fund revenues were $17.1 million. And our expenditures were $15 million. And this is the quarter that we add in our projected property taxes, a quarter of that amount that we project. That's why we're seeing higher fund balance and higher in revenues. I just wanted to call that to your attention. The committee members reviewed a preliminary budget amendment per their code. The committee is tasked with reviewing the budget amendment. So they reviewed a preliminary budget amendment. They did express concerns about the increase in cost, as Ms. Sprinkle mentioned earlier. And Mr. Cleworth expressed concerns about the decreasing in the unassigned balance for the capital fund. And so we may be looking at what a minimum, as we have a minimum in the general fund, a minimum in the capital fund. The committee members approved a change in our capitalization threshold. Changing it back from 1 million, it was at 1 million, we changed it to 250 and moving it back to 1 million. The committee also reviewed all revenues that exceed 500,000. They were looking at the numbers that you saw at the bottom for the garbage collection fees and getting a feel for whether or not our revenues are covering our cost for some of our top revenue items. The next meeting, they started the review of schedule of fees. So the next meeting, they'll be focusing on the schedule of fees with CPI impacts and taking a look at that. And their next meeting is scheduled Thursday, June the 26th at 7 a.m. So they'll continue to look at the task of trying to increase non-tax revenue by 10%. They'll continue looking at that. And at some point in time, maybe not next month in July, maybe in August, they'll start looking at long-range financial projections. And that's all I have. And I appreciate your time this morning.
Are you sure? Any final Margarita moments? Okay. Seeing none, Mayor and Councilmember comments, we'll start out with Mr. Cleworth.
Margarita, thank you for your work here. Good information that we can wrestle over Monday night. Just a minor item. I noticed on a work session agenda a couple weeks ago that we were actually the item of, and I know this seems to be a sore subject, Shannon Park came up and then it was taken off the agenda. But I still would like to have a presentation on not only that area, but the other properties that the city owns and you know, a brief coverage of that. It was on the work session, and it was taken off, so I don't know what happened there.
I took it off. We'll be doing that on our next work session.
Okay.
Because of the 15 items that we were going to have today that we sort of broke down into 2 days.
Yeah.
So just again, this was going to be an impactful 2 days for us, so I thought delay that.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. Ms. Tidwell. Mr. Marnie. Okay. Ms. Therrien. Okay. Ms. Sprinkle.
I can't be here tomorrow. That makes my heart sad. I'll be in an airport, so. Mike will have to do a little song and dance for me. Thank you. Last but not least, I want to say that I was at Lavelle's on the last night of operation. It was bittersweet, and I'm somewhat concerned about what that might mean for the city in alcohol tax. But it was an era gone by, so I just wanted to commemorate that and say it was sad that that had to happen. But thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
Following on Jerry there, I was driving through the neighborhood over there by Shannon Park, Lavelle, and all of a sudden I saw this big chain fenced-in area, and I saw the sign on this saying, oh, that's the city property. That's actually a pretty big piece of property. It's not one city lot. It's a couple of acres, or at least an acre. But I would also like to see what all do we own? I have no idea what all the city owns. So, I mean, you obviously see this one. Another one, I thought this coming in this morning, if you could pass along to our troops that I'm happy and pleased the work they have done in the front yard. Looked like we have a little pride in our city hall. They've done a great job on that this spring. One last comment on this issue of mill rate. I don't know anybody that I haven't had one person tell me that they like this settlement, but I can't imagine many people are going to be happy with a 20% increase in their mill rate.
Ms. Therrien.
Yes, can somebody explain to me what the yellow line is on Barnett now? I know there's a white stripe on one side and a yellow stripe on the other side. Bike lanes on both sides, but why is one white?
Mr. Clearworth, you're on fast planning. Would you take a jab at that for Ms. Therrien?
Okay.
Well, you approve that.
Okay. I just want to know.
You have a bike lane.
I don't think I was here then. Yeah,
the council looked at the possible bike paths in the city, and we narrowed it down to two, which was one too many. But anyway, we have that on Barnett. And what you have is a bike path on the west side, a normal one. The one on the east side, one in yellow, is a contra bike path.
A what?
A contra bike path, I guess, is the correct term.
I'm sure that's a legal term. I never heard of it.
And so you would be riding your bikes contra to the traffic flow, essentially.
Okay. You're going north on a south boundary street.
Which I think you could have sufficed with the one on the one side, but that was not the design they came up with. It'll be interesting to hear people's comments. Because one, you're going against the flow of traffic, I assume, but I'm guessing on that one, but that's my guess.
Just wondering.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So, Jerry, if this is just a test or a tryout, how do you guys gather information about success?
No one gets hit.
I think depending on the people that sit in this audience here, but
okay, just wanted
that'll
to
come
know
and
there
talk
was a...
about it. But, you know, you'll get people's comments on it. You know, I took a trip here about 2 months ago in the States and looked at the bike paths, how they do it. And what you're doing on the right side of that street is essentially what they do in most communities. You just have one white line that separates the curb from that. And that's always assumed to be a bike path. It's not marked as such. I never saw any markings anywhere saying it, but you knew it was. And that tends to be the trend, which I kind of support. It's similar to what we did on Gillum Way by moving the fog line out from the curb quite a bit, enforcing traffic more to the middle of the road, which gives you a wide shoulder. But if you have a wide vehicle, you'll go over that fog line. But essentially, you created a bike path there too. And to me, that's the way to do bike paths. It's simple. Doesn't require a ton of signage. I was kind of chuckling with Corey over at Fast Planning. You know Corey. Mm-hmm. And he took a trip over to Europe and was seeing how they did things over there, and it was essentially the same way. It was no signage. It was just a line.
But we don't have a northbound without doing that. Is that right?
Well,
you haven't designated
you could use
Cushman
the other,
or
I mean, there's
Lacey.
Nothing illegal about riding that bike path the other way, in my opinion, but whatever. There's a sidewalk there, too. There's two sidewalks, and half your bicyclists are not going to use your bike lane. They're still going to use the sidewalks, especially if they have children. There's two types of bicyclists, those that are very serious about it and those who are recreational with the children. They're going to stay on the sidewalk regardless if it's legal or illegal. That's where they're going to ride, and a lot of people feel comfortable there. But the more serious bicyclists will use that bike path.
Also, the bike lanes will double as a snow.
Yeah, they're seasonal.
Plowing areas.
Does that mean 10th is getting marked?
What's that?
10th Avenue. Wasn't that also going to get
marked? That's getting marked, yes. Okay. And that is a... What's the term I'm looking for? A one-year view for us.
That's it. Okay.
Because you're going to have a bike lane right down the middle of the street.
So yeah. On 10th, between Cowles and Latham, actually goes past Denali School, they have probably 15 of these huge signs designating the bike lane, and my neighbors are just
It's a what I would classify as a one season experiment.
Yeah.
And it was presented to us last year in the engineering office front with Bob, and we all took a look at it, and it was a 1 year experiment. Period. We'll see if it works.
Just curious to see what happens when people come down Third and try to go back the wrong way on Barnett with all those bike paths, because I see them from my office every day, people going the wrong way on Barnett.
So, really?
Oh God, all the time.
Now they have their own private lane to do it.
Yes.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, see you here at 7 a.m. It's what we call a special work session, because we didn't have the time frame to classify it as a normal work session. See you tomorrow morning. We're adjourned.